sessions you make, try to make all the sessions. Praise God. And if you're off or you can get off, you know, try to make day sessions also, because it's going to be a blessing. Praise God. You know, I always want to encourage people, you know, all of those big meetings, prosperity, camp meeting, ministers conference, but also too, even the pastor, he goes and he does the Supernatural Money Come to You conferences. You know, when they're in Louisiana, definitely try to make those, but try to make some of the out of town ones too, because it's going to be life changing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And this is also going to be our last class session before our test. I think the test is going to be the week after camp meeting, if I'm not mistaken, around the 16th. So we won't be meeting the 16th, if I'm not mistaken. So just kind of give you guys some time frame. So this class and the last, I think, two or three classes we had on Leviathan, plus this class, will be all included in your tests. Amen. And as before, your test questions are going to be kind of pulled from your quiz questions. So if you've been taking the quizzes, you should not have any problems with the tests. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that the Lord has made. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. And I thank you for this school of ministry, Lord God, ever increasing word training center. And that, Lord God, people are getting fortified and put in position to do what God has called them to do. We just give you all the glory and all the praise. We thank you for our apostle and for what you're doing in his life, and the blessing and the importation that he's imparting into us, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I know that if he doesn't show up, Lord God, I'll fall right smack on my face. But I have all the confidence in the world, Lord God, that you're going to show up and show out in this class. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking now. We're going to be shifting. Last two class sessions, we talked about pride or Leviathan. Now we're going to get back into honor. And we're going to be talking about honoring life sources. Honoring life sources. And to kind of give you a reference in your book, that's going to be somewhere around page 13, where he talks about honoring life sources. But anyway, the first way to come against the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. The first way to come against the spirit of dishonor. And we've been talking a lot about dishonor, but the first way to come against that or to reverse that is to begin to sow a seed of honor. A seed of honor will reverse generational curses. A seed of honor will reverse negativity. It reverses all that the seed of dishonor has brought upon a person's life. So the first way to come against the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. In the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." That word dues there means what's owed someone. When you render to someone all their dues, is something that you owe them, a payment or a debt that is owed. The word tribute means taxes. So you want to render to all their dues, whether it's taxes or respect and honor to that person. The word custom, it says also custom, to whom custom is due. Custom is talking about the traditions or the behaviors of a particular group of people, their established practices that they do. Different nationalities, different cultures may have different customs. You know, some areas, they greet differently, or they have different ceremonial customs. So you want to render to a different nationality, know their customs, know how their ceremonial customs, so that you won't disrespect them by dishonoring their customs. Also, to the word fear, it says fear to whom fear is due. That word fear doesn't mean to be scared or to be frightened, but it means to reverence. When you to render fear to whom fear is due, Those people who are in authority, you want to reverence them. You want to respect and you want to honor them. So you want to render fear or render the reverence, the reverential respect that's due an individual because of their position, their title, their anointing that God has placed upon their lives. Okay. And that's we see that a lot in the military. And I've talked about that in times past. In the military, we honor people based upon their ranks, their positions, their accomplishments. You know, even the more so in spiritual things, we want to honor and respect people based upon the gift, the anointing, the position that God has placed them in. Because the only way for us to get what God has blessed them with is to honor and to sow into them so that what's on them, that anointing, that gift, that blessing that's on them, that can trickle down to our lives. You know, and then we talked about reciprocation. You know, that's when you reciprocate, you are actually, as they sow their spiritual things into your life, you're sowing monetary things into them by reciprocating, by showing and giving honor. And as I stated, it's not just sowing seeds of money, but your time, your talent, you know, volunteering, you know, coming and doing things and just whatever your hand finds to do. You know, you can sow your time. You can sow your time, you can sow your talent, and you can sow your treasure, which is your through what you get through your livelihood. And that's so very important. We owe them, or those people who are in spiritual authority, this respect and honor. If we want what's on them, the blessing, God's favor and God's anointing to be released on us, we must properly honor them. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Let the elders that perform their duties or their offices well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when he is treading out the grain. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire." In these verses here in 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, it's talking about that the elders, those people who are in leadership, those people who God has placed over his flock, he said, those who rule well are worthy of double honor. And he says, especially those who labor in the word and teaching. And it goes on to say that we're not to muzzle the ox that treaded out the corn. What that means is, a person who's a farmer, who has an ox or a donkey or a mule that they're farming with back in the old days, there's what they call a muzzle that you can place upon their mouth. And that muzzle keeps them from opening their mouths. But at the same time, they can't feed with that muzzle on their mouths. But when you muzzle something, you're preventing it, you're locking it down. And a farmer will not muzzle the ox and keep him from eating because that animal is a source of his livelihood. It's helping him grow crops to provide for his family or his livelihood. So he's going to make sure that his ox or his mule or his horse, you know, his animal. And even nowadays, if you have a tractor, you're going to make sure you got oil and gas in it or diesel or whatever it is and service it and keep it up to par because it's valuable to you. Well, in spiritual things, we don't want to muzzle the man of God that's treading out spiritual nourishment for us. You know, as he sows his spiritual things that through the heaven to earth connection down to us, we're now sowing our carnal things, our finances by sowing into him. And by doing so, that's reciprocation, that's honor, and there's immediate. And what I mean by immediate, a lot of times, just because we don't see something happening spiritually in our lives, we may think that nothing has taken place when that transfer takes place. But spiritually, God now is causing things to turn in your favor. That's so very important because something takes place spiritually before it takes place naturally. Okay, so the process has already begun. Your financial breakthrough, your deliverance has already taken place. You may not see it, but through the eyes of your spirit, you need to understand that behind the scenes, the angels of God are working in your behalf to cause whatever it is that you believe in God for to come to pass because of the seeds and the honor that you're sowing. Give you an example. Several years ago, and as a lot of you know, my wife, she's back here working the camera, but several years ago, she doesn't like for me to talk about her, but this is a blessing and it happened to us, but it was a result of a seed that was sown. When the church was purchasing land, as you know, the ministry owns over 600 acres right in this area, but the land across the street had came up for sale. And I remember the apostle from the pulpit, he said, we're planning on buying the land across the street. Well, the Lord had placed upon my wife's heart to sow a substantial seed into purchasing of that land. And so she nudged me and she wrote something down on a sheet of paper and she wrote an amount and I kind of flinched. And I said, well, let's go in the back and let's pray about it. And so we went and in the copy room and we prayed about it. And I had a piece about it. She already had a piece about it. I said, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So we went up and we pledged $20,000 into the land across the street. And around that same time on my wife's job, they were having some reduction in force at her company. But we had believed God that it wasn't going to affect her and her job was safe and we wasn't even the least bit concerned about it. Well, we pledged that amount on a Sunday. The next day was Monday. She went to work. She got her pink slip notification that her job was one of the 200 or so, maybe 300 jobs. There was a couple hundred people that was going to be, their jobs were going to be terminated because of workforce reduction. And the enemy always tried to come in initially. Okay, you can't do this now because you're going to need that money. But we said, no, we're not going to receive that because we know now that this seed is a precious seed, you know, and you got to see, you see, one thing we've been taught in this ministry, a seed will meet any and every need. I'm going to say that again. A seed will meet any and every need, you know, and that's sowing seeds of honor. So we did everything we needed to do, got that seed, you know, in our hands, and we sowed that seed. And all of that week that all those people, 2 weeks, my wife, she's corrected me. It was a process because they have a deep briefing process. All those people, they go through the company, lets them know what they're going to do for them as far as education and training to help them get ready to learn how to write resumes and skills and what have you. But anyway, during that process of time, while they were going through these, they had separated those people who were subject for termination. The HR director sees my wife going down the sidewalk as they were moving them from building to building. And she said, Ms. Calhoun, can you step out for a minute? I need to talk to you. And so she stepped out and the person who was talking with her says, I have some good news for you. In your department, someone has elected to retire and we need to keep a certain amount of people in your group. And so we're going to reinstate you as if you never got terminated and you're not going to lose any benefits, no time or nothing. And I don't remember the exact amount and it's really not important, but she was the only person out of the couple of hundred that got terminated that got her job fully restored. And not only did it get restored, but shortly after that, she got a substantial promotion, you know. And we know for a fact that the seed that was sown had everything to do with the decision being turned, you know. And that's not just, that's only one incident. I can go and share more and more incidents of where seed, immediate seed sown, directed seed made a substantial difference in our lives, in our finances, in everything, you know. So One of the things that I know in my foundation class that I teach, I let people know I can share things from the book and the information, but it's nothing like by having experiential knowledge of what God can do and what, you know, God is no respecter of persons. So I'm letting you know that, you know, when you sow seeds of honor, God sees your seed, and when you do it wholeheartedly, that seed is going to produce a harvest. You know, expect a harvest. You got to expect it. Expect it, because it's coming. It's coming. The angels of God are working in your behalf to cause what it is that you believe in God to come to pass. Amen? All right, let's move on. It says, honor to whom honor is due. Malachi 1:6 says, a son honored his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence or fear due me, said the Lord of hosts. O ye priests who despise my name, you say, how and what, or in what way have we despised your name? You despise his name by not showing him the honor that's due him for his position, what God's called him to do. If a person is a son, you know, he needs to show honor to his spiritual father. If you are a daughter, you need to show honor to your spiritual father or your pastor or whoever it is who's in spiritual authority over you. That's so very important. You must understand the importance of giving honor to whom honor is due. You must understand and honor the anointing that's in the land. God places mantles or anointings or gifts in certain regions to match the needs of the people that's living in that region. You know, give you an example, you know, certain prophetic and apostolic and gifts may have anointings of healing. And so God will place, a Benny Hinn in a particular area because he's going to match or meet the needs in the region that God has assigned him to. Well, in this area, the Lord has placed the Apostle Thompson in this area, and he has a financial prosperity anointing upon his life. And the reason being is because of the need for people to be set free of financial bondage in our region. And so one of the things we have to be very careful about is not dishonoring the man of God by not coming to the meetings, by not taking heed of what's being said from the pulpit, because there have been times when God has sent mighty men of God to various regions or various countries for deliverance for the people in those countries or those areas, but the people didn't receive him. And so God removed that person and brought them somewhere else because of their lack of honor. The Bible says Jesus was not honored even in his own hometown because they were too familiar with him. You know, I'm thinking about a mighty man of God now who had a ministry on the East Coast, and God had to uproot him and move him in the Texas area because his own locale, the people in his own community, he was too familiar to him, and they didn't properly receive him as a gift that God sent him to that region. We're not going to let that happen to our apostle, because God sent him here for us, so we're going to honor him. You know, this prosperity revival, we're expecting this place to be full. We're expecting people to sow. I know this is the second year class. I know you guys have already talked about the seed you're going to be sowing for graduation. You know, that's showing honor to whom honor is due. You know, and there's immediate spiritual reciprocation from that. You know, when you do it, there's going to be immediate. Like I said, immediate don't mean I can see it right then and there, but sometimes it do. Depends on the need. But what it does mean is that the Bible says from the first day that Daniel prayed and he sought the Lord, that Michael went about to answer his prayer. Y'all know the story, you know. So things were happening in the spirit realm. immediately when Daniel prayed and he sought God. You know, but there was a confrontation in heaven or in the heavenlies that the angel had to overcome. And actually, I think Michael came to help overcome so that the angel could break through, that messenger angel, with the answer that he was praying for. You know, so from the very time you sow that seed, ministering angels are going forth to cause things to happen in your behalf. You know, and as far as God is concerned, at that moment in time, just like when you pray, you believe God that you're healed, you believe God that what you're praying for, you got the answer to. Well, no different with finances, because when you sow a seed of honor, immediately there's going to be a transitions in heaven that takes place on your behalf. Amen? All right. I want to encourage you, if you're a minister, it's so very important that if there are ministry gifts that's in your area, that's greater than you. The author talks about this, you know, even though they may not necessarily be your spiritual father, but you need to honor them. He said it's not even a bad idea to go to a particular area and just drop a seed off, because a particular man of God has been a blessing to your life. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we were at a church in Baton Rouge, and there was an apostle. He's went home to be with the Lord now, who came to that particular church. And we've always been taught that when a man of God walks on the pulpit, you stand up. And this was a church, had a couple of thousand people in it. And so when he walked on the stage, we stood up, showing honor and respect. Everybody looked at us like we was crazy. What y'all doing? Sit down. He ain't said nothing yet. He didn't have to say nothing yet. You know, when the president of the United States walks into a room, everybody stands up. Why? Because they're respecting the office. We talked about that. Well, you see, men of God hold greater positions than a president, because the lives they're affecting is not just in the here and now, but it's for eternity. You know, so God holds them in higher esteem. You know, the prophetic gifts, the apostle and the prophet. You know, you want to esteem those gifts highly. Amen. All right, let me move on, because my time is ticking away and I want to make sure I cover every specific area that I need to cover. Okay, one of the things I stated last week or weeks past, and I want to restate it again, as we have stated, the greatest seed that you can sow is a seed of honor. There is no seed greater than the seed of honor, sowing upward so that the blessings can come down. It is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. The word says, give honor to whom honor is due. Especially, it means that you are to honor life sources. And we stated that a life source is anybody who gives or who produces life or who nurtures life. You know, when you're talking about spiritual life, you're talking about somebody who's laboring for you spiritually, who's praying for you, who's seeking God to get spiritual nourishment from heaven to feed the sheep of God, to feed God's children. So that's a life source. You know, the apostle here over this house is a life source, you know, and it's so very important that we honor all life sources. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes all kinds of demonic and satanic generational curses, poverty, and all kind of barrenness and famine. I'm going to read that again. Anytime people dishonor by not showing proper honor to a life source, it unleashes all kinds of demonic attacks, generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famine. I was reading today the prophet Isaiah. No, I'm sorry. The prophet it'll come to me. But he was walking in a region. It was Isaiah. And there was some young, but mature enough to know better, young men or boys who started mocking him. Go up, old bald-headed man, you know, go up, you know, get out of here. In other words, be caught up in a whirlwind. You know, this was Elisha, just like Elijah was caught up. Go ahead and get caught up. Go, get from us. And they were dishonoring the prophet. And the prophet cursed him. in the name of the Lord. He just cursed them because of their disrespect and their dishonor to them. And the Bible says that they were eaten up by she-bears, you know, and these young men were in line for prophetic offices. But as the author states, that a whole generation of the prophetic was lost because of their dishonor. Aaron, who was the high priest, had two sons. They were in line for the priesthood. And we know that Aaron was the one who went into the most holy of holies, and he offered up sins for the people for 1 year as an atonement. Well, his sons were in line for it, but it wasn't time for them to perform those services. So just because they know that I'm next in line, don't mean that it's time for me to go into this sacred spot. So they go marching in there, you know, into the Holy of Holies, and they drop down dead because of dishonoring that office. You know, you don't want to, it's dangerous, very dangerous to step into another man's office, even though, you know, David did not ditch his father, Saul. Even though Saul didn't care for David because he knew that God's hand was off of him, you know, Saul had opportunities to kill David. I'm sorry, David had opportunities to kill Saul, but David wouldn't do it. He would not dishonor his spiritual father, even though there was some friction between the two, because Saul knew that the anointing had left him and that David had been anointed to be king, but it still wasn't time for David to move into his office. So David, I mean, it would have been easy. You know, Saul's in a cave, you know, taking care of his business, stooping down. David could have easily went and cut his head off, and he would have been next in line for the kingship. But he knew by doing so, he would be dishonoring Saul. And it hurted him. Even I think one time he cut a part of his skirt off. You know, he said, I repent. I'm sorry for what I did, because, you know, this is my spiritual father. You don't want to dishonor. You never want to put your mouth on a man of God. You never want to dishonor them, because there was one sentence I want to get to. Where is it? Yeah, here it is. I'm right there now. All life comes from God. And when you blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence, or it's tampering with God's sovereign plan. And God's going to take that personal, and you're going to be dealt with. So you don't want to blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source or who it is, because it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. Anytime a life source is violated, God withdraws his blessings at any time and on any level. Okay, now we're going to be defining some six levels of honor. Six levels of honor. And this is when I share with you about page 13 in your book. That first level of honor is that we want to do to show honor. We want to show honor to God. First and foremost, it is required that we show honor to God, because we serve a jealous God, and he doesn't want to have any gods before him. It says in Proverbs 3:9-10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses burst forth with wine. When you tithe and sow, you are honoring God. When you're tithing, that's honoring God with the first fruits of your increase. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment of God that we sow, because a lot of times what people will do, they'll tithe every now and then, and then when they get into a crisis, they want to sow a seed. But if you're not faithful in sowing into God, give you an illustration. I was sharing with you about my wife's job. If we hadn't been tithing consistently, week after week, year after year, you know, over and over again, that seed wouldn't have been enough, you know, because see, the tithe qualifies you for the blessing. Okay, the tithe say that, okay, now you're on the team, you made the team, but there's still more you got to do in order to reap the benefit. The tithe makes you eligible. You know, you're an eligible candidate for the blessing because you're not in the curse. Because see, when you're not tithing, you are automatically in the curse, because you put yourself there by being disobedient. But when you tithe, then you're a candidate now for the blessing. So when you sow a seed, an offering, which is over and above the tithe, that gets God's attention. Now, I got a tither that's now sowing extra because they got a project they're working on, or they got something that they're dealing with. God's gonna look at you because, hey, you've been working the system. You know, you're not just doing this because, well, I ain't been doing this and I've been kind of slacking here. No, you've been consistent at it, and that's so very important. If you're not tithing, you're not honoring God. There is no way your barns and your storehouses can be filled when you're dishonoring God by not tithing. We must always honor God with our substance, our first fruit of our labor. God is deserving of all honor because He is the principal life source. He is life in the absolute sense. Without God, there is no life. He is the originator of life and the giver of all life. So we honor God with the first fruits of our increase so that our barns, which is our bank accounts, can be filled, and that our livelihood, whatever source that brings money into us, that it will keep producing. You know, when you're sowing, you know, that and you're tithing, well, then God is going to keep the fruit ripening on the tree, falling off the tree. In other words, the money is going to keep coming in. There was a time, some 24, 25 years ago at my job, I had just got transferred working in a lab, and I was enjoying the job. But there were some things that had transpired around the time I had started working in the laboratory, some environmental regulatory things that wasn't being done. There was a big, massive investigation corporate-wide, and anyway, the outcome of the investigation was that we're gonna wipe out every lab technician in the environmental lab at the company that I work for. I watched 7 of my employees in one day get escorted out the gate. I was the last person in the lab that day. It was around 1:35, 1:40, and the last two young ladies got escorted by the HR director to HR to be processed for termination. And so I just knew that I was gonna be number 8. So when he came and got them, I said, ain't no sense in me staying in here now. I might as well go on and walk out and you know, I was ready for it. So I'm walking out, and he saw me. He says, no, not you. He says, I want you to meet me across the street in the administration building. The word he used, and I know it was just natural, he said, you're the lucky one. You know, and I knew it was the blessing, you know. I mean, that's something that stuck with me. And then, see, I was just like you guys are second-year students. I was either a second or first-year student in the school of ministry at that time. You know, we had been a member here for about 2 or 3 years at that time, you know. But we had started the process of sowing and being a blessing to our man of God. And here again, the Lord spared a job. You know, I was the only person in the lab that day that didn't get fired in that lab. You know, there was 1 or 2 other people who got hired on after me, but they weren't working that day. But I was there that day, and I saw, like I said, 7 of my coworkers being terminated. You know, so here again, examples. You know, the proof is in the pudding. When you honor God, God is going to honor you. God will honor you. I'm just letting you know from experience that when you sow and you give honor to whom honor is due, that the honor will be reciprocated back to you. Amen. All right, let's move on. My time is running. Okay, another aspect of honoring God that we have to be careful about. The author says it is very dangerous for individuals who should know better to have inappropriate behavior or relationships that's inappropriate or immoral or, you know, moral failures, sex sins, and just things that we know from a biblical point of view is wrong. When a minister who knows better gets involved in wife swapping, in homosexuality, in adultery, that's dishonoring God, because you are put in a position to be an example. And when now you're using the very power you have to discredit or to use or abuse people, God takes that personally, you know, because you're affecting the sheep. You know, you're making havoc of the sheep. I've known people who've done that. Some of them not here today. You know, they got taken out early. You know, so it's a dishonor. And the author talks about that. He said there should be no sexual affairs among the fivefold ministry gifts. There should be no homosexual affairs. There should be no wife swapping, no blatant sex sins, no inappropriate conduct for those who are in ministry. Anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe to be reaped. This is total dishonor to God. You know, total dishonor to God. You know, God, you know, it's like I said, I know people who are dead today because of that. You know, so if you're in the ministry, I know my time's clicking, but you know, that's why I encourage young ministers, you need to find you a good mate. You know, when I travel, 90% of the time, when I go to a Money Come to You conference or to anywhere the apostle go, my wife comes with me, you know, because she wants to, but at the same time, it's a protection for me. You know, it just wards off all kinds of, because there's all kind of deceptions out there, you know, that's lurking because the enemy wants to, he wants to discredit the ministry, and he'll do whatever he can to bring a reproach to a ministry or to a man of God, you know. And one of the things I've learned from my man of God is you always want to be above board, and you always want to be a man of integrity, where there's nothing that can be said against you. There's no accusations that can be said against you. And I'll leave it at that, because my time is ticking. I could share more, but that's very important, because I've known too many people who stumbled in that area. The second level of honor that we want to talk about is honoring the prophet and the apostle, or you should say honoring the apostolic, because those are your two apostolic gifts. We want to honor the apostle and the prophets. It says that, you know, Matthew 13:57, and when they were offended, and they were offended at him, he's talking about Jesus. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor in his own country and in his own house. You must honor the apostolic source that God has placed in your region. Here's the principle. The reason many countries never get the benefits of the gift that God has given that country is because they do not show honor to the apostolic and the prophetic gifts that God has placed in their midst. Every gift, and I shared this earlier, every gift is given to a region to meet the needs of that region. Apostle Thompson was given to this region to set the body of Christ free from financial bondage. When you receive him as a gift and honor him as a gift, the financial prosperity anointing that's on him is going to come upon you. If people in the region don't receive and don't honor the gift that God has sent to them, they will not receive the blessing that the man of God was sent to release unto them. And that's so very important. It is, if you dishonor in your country or in your own house or your church, the apostolic and prophetic gifts, you are in fact dishonoring God. I'm going to read that again. If you dishonor in your own country or your own house, which is your church, the apostolic and the prophetic gift that God has sent, you are in fact actually dishonoring God, because he is God's ambassador, God's representative, representing God's kingdom. If a country or a government does not honor its spiritual leaders, that country cannot be blessed. If a country dishonor the spiritual leaders that God has placed in that country cannot be blessed because they're violating spiritual principles. And that's based on Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And we talked about that in previous, about how the increase of the government, the government is on his shoulders, and the increase of the government, there shall be no end. Let me move on from there. The third level of honor is honoring fathers. And by that, we're talking fathers in the gospel. And a father in the gospel is anyone that God has placed upon them, that anointing, that they are nurturing sons and daughters in the gospel. Apostle Thompson is a father in the gospel. He has sons and churches that are under him. I think it's over 100 churches who are people who have submitted to his ministry and who glean from, who sow into, who undergird and supports his ministry because of the principle of reciprocation, the principle of honor by sowing into him. Then what's on him now, just like Aaron, the high priest, because the anointing came down and the anointing all ran down on Aaron's beard, down his skirt, down to his legs. They're positioning themselves under the apostle so that anointing that's on him could come upon them. So you want to honor fathers. Malachi 1 and 6 says, a son honored his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is my reverence? Said the Lord of hosts unto ye, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You despise a man of God by not properly showing honor, by not doing what he tells you to do. You know, when an apostolic charge is given, it's so very important that you obey that. You know, there have been people who try to, what's the word I want to use? Be slick. The apostles say, don't do this no more. And they I'm going to do it. You know, God spoke to me and told me not to work. Okay, but the apostle told you to get a job. But God say, see, the apostle hear from God, you know, so he ain't going to be telling him something and you something else. So somebody wrong, you know, whenever that happens, you can't walk under the blessing when you walk in disobedience. You can't, you know, whenever the apostle tell me to slow down or to back up or to go left or go right, guess what? Whatever he say to do, that's what I'm doing. You know, because I know my blessing comes through my connection with him. And it has been ever since I've been a member, you know. So I'm not going to do anything to short circuit the blessing of God on my life, you know, because anytime you dishonor and disrespect by disobeying the anointing of God, you can't be blessed. And then what happens is when you got somebody who's doing that, then that opens the door for other people to think they could do it. You know, getting back to, and my time is running out, but when Noah built the ark and they finally made it on land and he built the vineyard. Well, you had one son who saw his father's nakedness and he dishonored his father by going and talking about it in a disrespectful way, you know, and instead of covering his father, he went and talking about it, you know. Guess what I saw? Guess what I saw daddy do, you know? And he should have just, you know, take the cover, just back up, you know, let his daddy rest and cover him, you know? But his two brothers went and they honored their father by covering his nakedness or his mistakes. You know, when a man of God, nobody's perfect, But when you dishonor in that respect, you know, it not only do you walk in a curse, but your family, your children, generation after generation walk in that same curse. All right, let me move on. Here it is. I'm getting to that point now. Whenever you have a father that uncovers himself and fails and falls into sin, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering of their father, they open the door for the curse their father has initiated to come upon them. Their dishonor, the curse and sin will come upon the son's life. Whatever that dishonor was, that curse was, or that sin was, will be initiated in the son's life. I know people in past times who were assistant pastors or high up in the ministry who their pastor fell into sin, and instead of covering him and helping him, helping restore him, they start talking and then they left, took some of the members, started their own little church or went somewhere else, and they never settled it and never, you know, there was no closure properly. It was just, I'm out of here. Years later, the same sin, the same sex sin that the man of God fell into, I literally saw them and had opportunity to warn them. I said, you don't need to be bringing teenage young girls to stay with you and your wife, even though their parents put them out of their house. I know they got saved and their parents don't understand speaking in other tongues and what's happening in their life, but you're a young minister with a young family. You don't need to have young ladies staying in your house. And oh, I'll be fine. I'm good. Okay. Now you've fallen into sex sin. Your marriage is dissolved. Your ministry is dissolved. You know, I've seen it happen. You know, I'm not just saying something I'm reading in a book. I know people that I went and started off in ministry with that this has happened to. And you don't want that to happen to you. So you want to always make sure you honor properly. And I'm going to have to skip over to the last thing because I have about 2 or 3 minutes left. Okay. You can kind of follow along in the book, but the next one is... honor old people. You always want to respect and honor elderly people. When an elder gentleman or lady walks into a room, you want to stand up and respect them, and you honor the years that God has blessed them with. When you dishonor them, you're dishonoring the struggles and the survival skills that God has benefited and blessed them with. Well, then those blessings on them cannot come upon you because of your dishonor. I talked about the prophet who the young kids dishonored and the she-goats devoured them up. Another one is, number six is, you want to honor the anointing or the gift of God that's in you. The Bible says, what is man that thou art so mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit him? God crowned man with glory and honor. If you don't honor the anointing that's on your life and you dishonor it by, you know, God has a call, a plan, and a purpose for each and every one of you guys' life. But if you don't honor and seek after and pursue that, but you go off and on a tangent and go in another direction and get involved into something illicit or immoral and go totally opposite, you're dishonoring the gift that's on the inside of you. You know, you see, the enemy is out to destroy, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's why it's so very important to seek after the abundant life. You know, whatever God's called you to do, you want to seek after with your whole heart, because there's always going to be temptation. There's always going to be things that's going to try to sway you in another direction. That's why it's so very important to get connected to a ministry and a man of God that can speak into your life, that can tell you no, and you hear no, and you obey no, or tell you go, and you go, because there's a covenant and there's a protection. You got too many people out there, out on their own, being independent and not knowing how to submit properly. And they put themselves in open prey for deception because of pride, because of arrogance, and because of not honoring the apostolic. Amen? All right, you guys be blessed. We'll see you guys in about, I guess, 3 weeks. Is it 3 weeks? Yeah, because well, next week is camp meeting. The next week is tests, exams, and then the next week is going to be Thanksgiving. So I think it's 3 weeks, at least 3 weeks. The 30th is going to be our next session. Okay. All right. So you guys be blessed. All right, sir. Mm-hmm.